scholars have pointed out for years and years that it is impossible to coordinate the so-called resurrection appearances. I mean, Jesus is in Galilee, Jesus is in Jerusalem. As we see here, Jesus breathes on the disciples the day he arose. In Luke's gospel, it was 40 days till Pentecost when there was this outflowing of the Spirit. So we have to be careful. We're not reading history. We're reading theology here. And there we, first of all, we have to know how, what this stuff means and how it means what it does. The statement of faith, of course. What is being believed here? Well, there are a number of issues in this passage from John. For instance, the forgiveness of sins. In Matthew, the forgiveness of sins is given to everybody in the church. Certainly, they're not talking about little confessional boxes or reconciliation rooms here. They're talking about the pattern of human relations which ought to obtain between people who see in Jesus the realization of what it is to be human. And that's why the word that comes out of the mouth of the risen Jesus most often is peace. And here too, we, I think, have trivialized the biblical notion of peace all the way back to the Hebrew Bible. Peace is not some sense of inner well-being, some inner contentment. I'm all right, I'm all right. Peace is an essentially social phenomenon. Peace always has to do with personal relationships. And only out of that can arise a sense of brightness of my life. So this is extremely important. And the giving of the Spirit, of course, is what these people believed was the upshot of Jesus being raised by God from the dead. Something new was in the world. A new reality, Paul says over and over, we are a new creation. The book of Revelation said, behold, I make all things new. So what is this novelty? Well, we have to go back to the biblical understanding of spirit, which is a notion as old as the book of Genesis. You remember, spirit just means breath, full stop. God breathed into that little clay dummy and it became a living being in the Genesis story. It means to be alive, therefore, to be enlivened. But it's not just biological quantum that we're talking about. We're talking about, again, a whole different way of living. A whole different way of being in the world. I think most of us, most of the time, are wary of each other. Why would we be so closed in on ourselves if that were not the case? Why would those epiphanic moments in our lives, rare though they may be, when we seem to be able to be freely ourselves with another person, be so extraordinary? But that's where the Spirit of God, the animating power of God, is active. When that happens. So we're not talking about walking corpses or holes in hands and feet. We're talking about a belief that God in this man Jesus has told us what it is to be human. And of course, the cost of that is what is emphasized in this business. They saw his hands and his feet and they knew. And this business with Thomas, which is certainly not historical. Thomas is not poking around in some body. Rather, the whole point of the Thomas episode here is simply the belief, again, the statement of belief, that if we see people living in this new fashion, then we come to understand who Jesus was. So the Spirit, we will hear all kinds of Spirit talk between here and Epiphany, or Pentecost, I beg your pardon. But we know clearly what we're talking about. It's not some airy-fairy spiritual life. We're talking about real concrete realities. Real changes of heart. where we really are ready to forgive each other, where we're ready to be forgiven. In other words, it all comes down to love.